Hey, let me introduce myself. My name is Dale Johnson. I'm the executive director for ACBC, so really excited to be here with you. Thank you all for your work. This is a more advanced track. You guys have been around biblical counseling for a little while, most of you, and so I'm excited to engage you today. I also teach as an associate professor at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I have a wife and six children, and so we stay quite busy at home, and thank you for your prayers in that. Thank you for all that you're doing. I love ACBC. I love what ACBC stands for. I love what we do. My heart and my goal is not that the brand of ACBC grows primarily. My heart and my goal is that the kingdom of Christ is increased by the church doing the duty that the church is called to do, which is that we would regain and recover a biblical view of soul care. That the way in which we think about soul care in the church is the way in which Christ taught from the scriptures to trust his spirit and to trust his word that he revealed to us, that he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that everything we do, not just in the things that we say, not just in the things that we think intellectually, but in the things that we do would also be consistent with our desire for the church and with what God has. So, with that, let me pray for us and our time, and I want to talk to you today about exposing man, the heart unveiled by the God who sees. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this time that we have together, this time that we get to share. The fact that we sit under the sovereignty of you as our God is a great blessing. And Father, we exalt you, we raise you high, we magnify your name for your glory and for your work. Lord, your character is demonstrated by the work that you do on our behalf. To display yourself to the world is such a kindness. And Father, we're so grateful that you have allowed us to know you. You've gone through great lengths to reveal yourself to us. And Father, we pray that we are a people who are faithful to proclaim your word, to live in such a way that demonstrates your glory to a watching world. Help us, Father, to be light in darkness. Help us to be wisdom in folly. God, help us to be wise as we use your word to help hurting people. God, would you grow compassion and grace and mercy in our heart, the same compassion and grace and mercy that you demonstrate to us in the Lord Jesus and that you demonstrate to us consistently through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Father, be with our time today. May we grow in wisdom. May we be challenged by your word, all of us, to now go out and do the work that you've called us to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Several years back, my first advent in seminary, I've been in seminary for many years and still hanging around a seminary. I just can't get loose of those places. My first advent in seminary, I had a good friend. His dad was ex-military, and he led a junior ROTC program. And I can remember, we went to the woods with him one day. I grew up in the country. You can probably tell I'm not from the north. I'm a southern child, and I grew up in the woods. But I'd never done anything like what we experienced that day. We did orienteering. Have any of you ever experienced orienteering? Orienteering is an opportunity to go to the woods. You have what they call waypoints or particular points that are placed previously in the woods. You have a compass and you have a map. And with that compass, you're trying to guide yourself through the woods, and you have on the map different waypoints that you're supposed to go to in order. And in going to those particular places, you have a certain amount of steps. Now, we got a little confused when we were doing this because my friend was 6'9". And I'm not. So as we were walking, we were like, well, whose steps do we use? So we kind of did this medium path. But the interesting thing when we were doing this trek through the woods is we were stuck in the middle of a place. We had no idea where we were. And as we're walking, you have to trust a couple of things. First of all, you have to trust the map. And second of all, you have to trust the compass. What if the magnet messes up on that thing? Right here you are lost. And interesting thing that happens as you're walking and moving through the woods is things start to look very, very similar. And you're comparing yourself to where you were and where you want to go, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get to where I need to go? You have to have something that grounds you. That's a pole, if you will, that you rotate around. I fear what's happening often in so many of our churches as we think about the cultural flow of our people is the thing that we're operating around is what's culturally normal and not what God defines as being normal. I fear what's happening is we're even seeking help in ways that doesn't orient us to the right things. We're not living and operating around a certain goal. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have to learn to orient ourselves to the right thing. And then in ways that you care for others and counsel others, you need to learn to orient them to the right things so that all the emotions that they're experiencing are not wrong in and of themselves, but maybe misguided because they're not comparing themselves to the proper thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 lays for us a basic foundation. Now, I just want to introduce you to this, and we're going to run through the first part of some of your notes that you may have in front of you. And my goal is that be kind of a setup for what I want to close with, which is a very practical application of the way we think about soul care in relation to Christ and how we help people on the ground level as we expose them to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, verse 12, "Since we have such a hope, we are bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, there's several foundational truths. I want to highlight one in particular, because I think this is a part of what so many theories of counseling are missing. In our modern day, not just outside of the church, but even inside of the church, this element of being exposed to God and God's usefulness in the process of change is often missing. Here, one of the things that Paul is trying to communicate, he's talking particularly about salvation, but he goes on to detail that this is important, this unveiling of the Spirit, so that we're changed from one degree of glory to another. This process of sanctification is to happen by the same means that we are unveiled by the Spirit. I would argue that there are three basic problems with the way that we think about counseling that we need to be careful with as we work through what it means to counsel and do soul care properly and appropriately. One of those is that we uphold certainly the sufficiency of Scripture. That we believe the sufficiency of Scripture is necessary for life and godliness. And that God has given us everything we need from the Scriptures for our good. Now, that's basic. You guys know that. You've rehashed that over and over and over again. But it is critical because the other side of the sufficiency coin is authority. And history will demonstrate to you, if you study history, that any time that the church begins to look to a different authority in what they believe to be a sufficient, or the Bible doesn't answer this question of man, what they begin to do is look to other means and ideas for their authority. And what happens? We begin to think the Bible is not useful. We begin to think the Bible is not authoritative, and we see the church begin to drift like your orienteering and your compass goes bad, and you're lost in the woods. The second thing I would argue is anthropology, a biblical understanding of man, who man is and how man operates, that we are beings that are holistic, bipartite, meaning that we are material and immaterial. Yes, we have a body. That certainly affects us in the ways in which we respond, but we primarily respond from the inside out. Even outward things that happen to us, he would say later in 2 Corinthians 4, that even that, it doesn't dictate our identity in who we are, that we are people who flow from the inside out. We respond appropriately to anything that happens in the physical world. I would submit to you that many of the philosophies that we see today, particularly counseling theories and counseling philosophies, what we see happening is there's a shift in changing in anthropology. And part of the difficulty that we see, if we're not careful, is we are enamored by all the practicality that we think is going on in some of those